Oh, thank you, Maria. And so the word everyone is really important in the new creation reality. Everyone has access to these realms. And if you ever find yourself thinking, oh, it's not really for me, or I won't be very good at this, or it's those other people, then you're hitting a resistance in the spirit, which is from religious structures. So everyone has access to these supernatural realities. Second thinking around religion. The heavenly realities are not for now, they're for later. They're for a day when. And what you see in religious thinking, it always pushes the dynamic manifestation of the presence of God to another day, which explains why we're okay to live as we are. So, for instance, entering the throne room of heaven, stepping into heavenly realms, knowing your place in the heavens, entering the New Jerusalem, flowing in the holiness of God. These are for a day in religious thinking. That's not for now. Now it's all gloom and doom, really. It's all quite difficult. That's for after we die. And what we're finding is that so many scriptures have been pushed to be after death are actually meant to be manifested now. They're for now thinking and now reality. That death isn't our way into heaven, faith in Christ is, and we have access now into heavenly realities. So if you write the word everyone and then you write the word now under it, God wants us all to have access and all to have access now and manifest these realities now. And then the third would be, we live in the realm of sin and death. That sits around the world. And the nature of religion is to accept the realm of sin and death and say, how do we live under it and survive until we get taken to heaven? It's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, it's going to be dark, it's going to be miserable, but we'll wait, but hopefully we'll get to heaven and then it'll be okay then. But Paul wouldn't let us think like that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has, past tense, set us free from the old power of sin and death. Paul sees us as already breaking, we've broken out of sin and death into the realm of life, and that completely reshapes our expectations. We are called to live in the above, from heaven to earth, not trying to go from earth to heaven. So under everyone now, and could you write new learning? New learning. We've got to learn new ways of engaging with God, meeting with God, new ways of praying and worshiping and connecting vertically into heaven. So, for instance, an old natural thinking is the more I pray, the more I deserve, or I ought to pray more because it's really about amount. If we had 100,000 people praying in a football stadium, that would be more powerful than 10 people praying together because you think amount, size, big, noise, and that's not kingdom. It's not kingdom thinking, it's natural thinking. And the natural thinking, the religious mindset is always using natural standards and natural ways to try and get supernatural results. And the way into the spirit is so much simpler and so much more accessible, but operates according to very, very, very different principles. And I think what all of us, those three areas, it's available to everyone, it's available now, but we need to learn to operate in different ways, the more heavenly ways than earthly ways. I think it affects every single one of us. All of those will have a pull on us because it's the way of the earth, and it's the way of the natural world, and it's the way of the religious structures. And it's frankly the way most churches operate on a Sunday. without necessarily saying it, but you'll find it, you'll pick up these thinkings all the way. And one of the things that I've been hearing from the Spirit a lot in the last few months is this phrase, the old order is passing away. The old order is passing away. I think we're coming into a day when we're going to see such a remarkable manifestation of the kingdom on the earth that we're going to have to learn how to live like this to live in it. I was watching a TV program the other day of someone learning to fly an airplane, and they were just having to completely recalibrate everything that they know in order to know how to fly an airplane, because it was just so different to the normal way of doing things. He was kind of having to go left when he wanted to go right when he had to go left. What was up? What was down? How does it? It was all so new. And I think that for all of us, there's so much new to learn. But you can only learn it in the flow of the spirit. You really can't learn it. You certainly can't learn it on from teaching. Teaching can open up possibilities, but you've got to go on and put your L plates on and become adventurous. Got to become adventurous and find new ways of doing things. I honestly believe that once we begin to understand who we are in Christ, where we're seated in the heavens and the realms in which we have authority, prayer becomes looks very, very different to what we've been learned, what we've by and large been learned. It's simpler, it's easier, it's much more dynamic, and it's much more powerful and requires far less effort. But we have somewhere inside us, it's going to have to be hard. We're going to have to work really hard. We have to, it's going to be really hard to make anything happen. And I think that the way of the Spirit is much, much simpler. And in one way, it's much easier than we've all learned. So I think there's a great deal of unlearning that needs to go on. So I suppose that's really why I understand why we're doing this Monday night, is to completely reach a great piece of turnaround of mindsets and attitudes so we can live in all that Christ has won for us. Because so much of what we've all learned is keeps us on the ground and doesn't release us into the heavens. Now, we could unpack all of those for quite some time. I just wanted to sort of set something of a direction of why we're doing what we're doing. This is a much bigger thing than just having visualization exercises. This is about activating the extraordinary supernatural celestial DNA and nature you now have in Christ. And we've barely touched all that that means. So, could you have a look at those three things? Everyone now and new, the new learning. And just take a moment, and maybe for each of those, have a think. Is there a way I think, oh, it's for other people? Is there a way I think, oh, it's gonna have to wait till heaven? And is there a way you're finding it hard learning the new? So, for instance, imagine learning to flow in the imagination, learning to be present to your heart and flow and trust in the flow of life. Just take a moment and think for yourself, what excites you and what challenges you in those three areas? And we'll just take 3 or 4 minutes, just have a mull, just begin to mull on it. And if you've got any questions about, just go ahead and ask. I want to be clear. Go for it, Lola.
I don't know. As soon as I opened today and you came on, one word came into my mind. And for me, it sums up everything you're saying. And
Okay.
that's union. It is just the word. I don't even know if that I can explain it, but I know it in my spirit. I know it. I know it's about union, and it's not even stepping into union. But it's that union already is.
Yes, and we'll talk. We're going to go into this. This is what we're doing for the rest of the evening.
Oh, sorry. I
So, no,
just.
just to hold that happy thought. So,
Okay.
any question about what we're trying to do these next couple of minutes
Sorry.
about those three areas?
Sorry.
I mean, I can pick something on each of those three areas that I know is a challenge for me right now. So maybe you can just identify some stuff for you. Okay, just before we pray, we'll just pray into this in a moment. Anyone feel brave enough to share an area for you which is you can feel the challenge or the question resistance in you or the difficulty in you over any of these three areas? Just unmute and just share.
Hi, Stu.
Go for it, Mark.
Yeah, I think, well, me and Liz were discussing it. It's the new learning is it's exciting and terrifying at the same time. It's that sort of thing. We were discussing the everyone and now, and I think most of our leadership have got that on board. But I would say the main church still haven't got that on board, and we're battling with that. But this new learning, and we need to unlearn in order to go forward. That's something else. That is something else.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Liz. Anybody else want to share something for their perspective?
Yeah, Stuart, the everyone. I can see that for Christians that we can, yeah, we can understand that we all have equal, we're all the same, and we all, yeah, access to God is for everyone. But what about the unsaved? How do they, how do they get in on this, everyone?
I would say they have general revelation, but not specific revelation. God's at work all the way through the world, but at the end of the day, you only get saved through Jesus Christ. And that would be kind of how I would understand that freedom is in Christ. It's not just in being a human, but God's grace is at work. There's a lot of spiritual revelation all over the world, but the pure, the heart of it is in Christ.
Yeah.
But
Thank
I don't think most Christians do think they have the same access. I think we internally go, when you hear someone who's further on than you, you go, really, can I do that? Or is that just for, have I, am I just too slow? Am I too dull? We had all our own insignificance and our questions about ourselves, and we think we can't do that. But actually, you just don't know how far you can go because everyone's called to it. You know, the promises in scripture of being, Jesus said, when I go ahead to prepare a place for you. And after I've gone to prepare a place, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. So where I am, you may also be. He's not talking about death. He's talking about while you're still alive, in the spirit, you can be with him, in the heavens with him. And so that's for every single person. But I think we all struggle to know, gosh, dare we go there? Are we really allowed to? I find I hit my own fear membrane of what if I get it wrong? What if I step in and I get rejected? I hit all my own fear stuff. Whenever I come to a new revelation, it's like, oh gosh, am I going to get this horribly wrong? So I think mine looks like there. I know in theory I can, but I hit all my own insecurities as I go in the journey.
Can I ask a question, Stuart?
Sure, Lou.
My revelation is always ahead of my manifestation. So I mean, when I discovered union, I recognized that I was one with the crucified Jesus, the
Yep.
resurrected Lord. And that revelation is really growing, but the manifestation of what I know to be true seems to lag behind.
There's a huge time lag, isn't there? It's so
Yeah.
frustrating.
And to that end, there is a wait. And I
Yes.
wonder if you could explain that.
My understanding it is that we are, it's like coming out into the light. Your eyes take a rather long time to get used to the sunlight if you've been in a dark room. That there is a lag between who you are in the spirit and your soul and body's ability to agree with it.
Okay.
So I think our souls and bodies are so used to the realm of sin and death that you might get it in the spirit, but your soul and your body take a while to be to come into agreement with it because they're so attached to the earth.
So, what's the best way to hurry that along? Give us a few clues.
Honestly, I think it's just persistence and making sure every day you're coming into realms of light, into realms of color. You're activating your spiritual nature in the heavens and daring to go with what God is showing you. And bit by bit by bit by bit, we come into agreement. I mean, you know, some of you guys know that I'm still struggle with ill health. It's just so frustrating for me because I've seen the realm of life and healing. I've ministered the realm of life and healing, but I'm yet to come into full health and healing. So I see this lag, and I've seen it for a while that it's my body and my soul were horribly damaged by stuff that happened on the earth, and I'm still too attached to it. So the more I marinate and soak and saturate in life, the more they will come into align and flow with the life of the spirit.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
And I think for me, it's probably I'm just not accepting where I've been. I'm just not accepting it because it's not my inheritance. But I can't force it. It's very frustrating because human, I mean, back to like new learning, human effort and trying hard and pushing and making stuff happen. But most of the time, it's our own soul effort. and it gets in the way of the spirit. So very often, the very thing you're trying to do to be more spiritual is the very thing that will stop you, because so often
Put that down, everyone.
it's like if we could all do, I'm not going to say this. Am I going to say this? Well, can I say this? I've all no. I don't know what. If we could all chill out a bit, I often wonder why West Coast Californians seem to flow in the spirit so easily, because they're so chill. We Brits are so earnest and uptight and trying so hard to get it right that so much of that gets in the way of the spirit. And so there's a huge unlearning. What's got us so far won't get us to the next level. And it's really frustrating, but it's a dying to self energy and self strength and self effort, which we and
And I
most,
grew up with that as holiness,
yeah,
actually.
and
I was,
most of church on Sunday runs on that.
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, in
Thank
different
you.
shapes or forms. I
Actually,
think
can
they're
I
getting
just.
it. I think they're getting it right is a big part of the problem. I think is a, you know, is part of the old teaching, the old learning. And it really gets in the way of the new learning, because I in my head, I mean, Lou's talking about you know, how do we make it go faster, and you know, but I'm waiting for somebody to say the three-point plan is this, you know, and that's religion. Yeah, it is.
It's formulaic, and what it does is it means that you don't have to actually have any kind of relationship, because the relationship is immaterial, because you've got a plan, you've got a way of doing it, you know. If we just do X, Y, and Z, that's it. We don't actually have to have a relationship to do it.
I had a friend who used to get breathless around the religious spirit, and do you know where he felt the religious spirit most? He got most breathless in Christian bookshops.
Really?
Because everyone's peddling 5 points and here's the way to do it. And my way must be your way. And actually, that's exactly the nature of religion. It's using natural abilities, natural ways, 5 points, six this, seven that, so you can feel like you know what you're doing. I think probably this whole area of mystery, you've got to give up all ability to know what you're doing. You've got to enter into a kind of what the old mystics called the cloud of unknowing. You enter into a place where you just don't know which way is up because you aren't in control anymore and God is mystery. And that's all very well to say, but on a Tuesday morning when you're trying to pray, you know, you come into and suddenly there's colours and there's movement and you're like, what's going on? The tendency is to draw back to where you're safe,
Certainty. Give me certainty.
rather than flow and let yourself be released in your spirit. I mean, even owning the fact you've got a spirit. I mean, when do you last hear a talk in church on anywhere on the fact you've got a spirit and how does your spirit work? Because we're almost always ministering to the intellect or the will, not to who the person is in Christ.
Jesus said that we are continually being transformed into his image. So this is the way my brain thinks. So that makes me ask, how much of that is down to me? Because my spiritual DNA, I can see it in my spirit, is continually being transformed. It's like all the little cells that my spiritual cells in my body are changing. You know, like from the beginning of time when, you know, we were amoeba and the cells were being changed and transformed. That's how I see it. And I don't know how much. What I'm asking is, how much control do I have over that? Or is that automatically because it's God's intentionality that we be transformed and we be made new? How much of that is down to me and how much of that is down to him in just believing and receiving?
It's a deep partnership, of course. And the Lord will show you things to do, ways to I think what I'm what I was where I was going to tonight, and it flows into this. I think more transformation comes in our lives by resting, gazing, and dwelling in the presence than by moral effort or trying. And I think it's as we begin to see our spirits, let's say example, if we begin to see our spiritual nature, because you're a spirit with a soul living in a body, so your deepest, most fundamental reality of who you are is your spirit nature, because that's where you're born again. The more you can see yourself, for instance, as being a child of light, and using light, it could be fire, gold, glory. You could there's images around water in scripture and breath and air. These are all deeply biblical images of the human spirit flowing with God. The more you can see yourself as a spirit in union with God's spirit, and you can allow yourself to go into that realm of being, engaging with the beingness of it, the more it will flow out through the rest of you.
Yeah,
And it's a supernatural. Firstly, there's the revelation of it, seeing and engaging with the reality of it. Then there's the resting, absorbing, soaking, drinking. And then what begins to happen is things begin to change around you because you carry a very different atmosphere and you begin to become a different person. And this is slightly different to just being meditative and quiet in prayer. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's very beautiful and very important. And the more you begin to see and engage with the heavens, the more you'll need to learn to rest, meditate, contemplate. But I think you can rest and meditate almost as if you were on the earth waiting for God to come to you. But when you start resting and meditating and you're in the heavens and you're already in union, there's a different reality and a different flow because you're already there. So to have your own imagery of being in union with the living God is the most significant thing you can spend your time doing. I would say if you took all your time when you spent just with your heart open to the Lord, whether that's walking through Sainsbury's or quietly in your bedroom or in the car, I would dare to say 80 to 85% of your time should just be resting, enjoying, singing, flowing, experiencing, acclimatizing to a new reality rather than praying for things. And I think prayer it brings a very different concept to prayer, to praying to God in heaven that he would meet with you. There is that. I'm not saying there's not that because that has its place. But when you understand union, you're already in the heavens with him.
Amen.
And the more you rest and can engage with that supernatural reality of being in union, the more he prays through you to the earth. Because of the union. Is this making any sense? Okay.
I just wanted to say the Mirror Bibles has this lovely little phrase where it says we sp spend so much time trying to be where we should be, to trying to be where we already are.
Where already are.
Yeah, and it's a lovely phrase that.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly right. Okay, so look.
Do it. Sorry, I
Yes.
have a question.
Go for it. Hi, Claire.
Just re a really practical thinking about doing the resting and the union and that imagination, how does that fit in then with your Bible reading, your daily Bible reading?
It's a great
or
question.
studying and doing the theology side of things, because what I want to do is I want to see Jesus in the Old Testament, in all the stories there. I want to see him in the New Testament and meet with him in that. So how do the two work?
I think Bible study is a beautiful thing, as long as you turn it into encounter.
Would you turn it into what? Encounter.
Encounter. Every time you read a scripture, it is a doorway into the reality of the unseen realm behind it. So when you read about Jesus, for instance, is the way or the truth or the light or the life or the resurrection, it's not just meant to be something we sit and analyze and think about. There's nothing wrong with studying it and thinking it about it, but then you've got to step into the spirit realm of which it speaks, which is why Paul says, think of, he says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So in other words, we have access into the above because we're seated with him in the heavens. And behind every scripture, there is a supernatural reality that it opens the door to. And so you use the scripture as your way. You allow your spirit. So you do your study and all that's good. But at some point, you've got to quieten the mind and let your spirit and your heart go through the door into the unseen, and then you encounter that which you've been reading about. So everything you read leads you to Christ. Everything you read leads you into the presence of Yahweh and Ruach and the Trinity and the one God. And when you step in there, then you start seeing things like angels and colors and movement alongside, but our primary goal is to know him. So I think I said it this time last year. I had this experience of God showing me these caves, which I now understand because he spoke to me out of the story of Elijah, that I wasn't going into a cave, I was coming out of the cave. Do you remember Elijah on Mount Sinai is in a cave, and he comes out of the cave to meet with God on Mount Sinai? Lord said, you're not going into a cave to me, but you're coming out of the cave you've been in to encounter me out on the mountain. And one of the caves had was a portal into fire. So I'm throwing this your way, and I would encourage you to be writing this down, because this is how you begin to go deeper, is you use the imagery in the scriptures of the nature of God to come through it to meet with him. So God is a God of love. So tomorrow morning, well, in fact, we're about to do this now, but God is a
Could you
God of
repeat
love. Lo
that?
love, love is a something. It's not an idea or just a feeling. Supernatural, heavenly, kingdom love that flows out of God's nature is a something. It's a supernatural dimension of reality that you can step into, because it's part of him, and he is more real, more substantially real than the chair you're sitting on. So love isn't just a whooshy, it's a supernatural realm that you can step into because you're stepping into him. So you can step into love, you can step into fire, because God is a consuming fire. Well, you're a fiery being now. You're born again of fire. You can come into his fiery presence and be welcomed there. Practice seeing that. God is wind, he is breath. Your spirit is compared to the breath. It's the wind, it's the movement, the fluidity of God. And you can come into God's presence and encounter him who is the breath, the Ruach. So what we're doing is we're using biblical imagery to say, my spirit was made, because your spirit is multidimensional. You can be fire, you can be water, you can be wind, you can be light, you can be glory, because Christ is in you, and this is what you've been given, all these different elements to who you are in the spirit. And each of them connects in union with God. And as you experiment and go play, go and enjoy practicing different things, what you're going to find is if you step through a doorway that and you go, I'm made of fire, and God is fire, and you maybe take the burning bush and you dwell on the burning bush, but go, I'm allowed into him, I'm in union with the God who is a fire, because I'm fire, because he's in me. You try that, see what happens. And it takes you a while to get used to it, because your body and you might feel amazing one day and feel nothing the next. It's not like every time you have
My
these,
life.
it's always amazing, but you're doing it by faith because you understand the scriptures and you understand your capacity now as a spirit being is to come into the heavens and meet with the God of the heavens, and he is multi-dimensional. This is how you practice it. Well, at least this is how I'm learning to practice it. This is because I have no, as I said to you before, I've not been caught up into heaven and had like crazy Daniel type experiences. I'm learning to do it step by step by step. And if that's helpful to you, well, brilliant. But if you're waiting for it just to sort of kabam, you're going to have an explosive, like Daniel 7 experience of being taken, or Revelation and John. You know, that's like waiting to only hear God to speak to you audibly. But we know God speaks to us through pictures and dreams and so many subtle, quiet, gentle ways as well, that we can also step into the heavens in quiet, gentle ways, not just cataclysmic, apocalyptic ways. Because we have access. This is your home. John 14. He's already prepared a place for you. Those of you who know Jesus' ministry teaching that we did over the years with Living Free, do you remember the word topos
Yeah,
from Ephesians 4?
definitely.
Don't give the devil a place, a foothold, a topos in your life. So we always tend to think topos of a slightly negative connotation. But when Jesus, I prepared a place for you, is I prepared a topos for you in heaven. That means a place for you. It's yours. And as you often has a legal side to it, you know, this is your legal right. You're adopted into his family, and there's a place for you in his home. And you've got it now. You don't have to wait till you die. I've gone to prepare a place for you in my father's house of many rooms. He's creating a heavenly family, which is the people on earth and the people who have gone before, and the angels and the cloud of witnesses. We're all to God, we're all one. He sees all of us. We're all of us interacting all the time, but we on the earth tend to not know quite who we're interacting with. But we're all interacting all the time with each other. And what we're doing is begin to become more aware of the interactions which are going around us all the time in the spirit realm. I mean, right now around you in your bedroom and your sitting room, wherever you are, there is angelic activity swirling. There are colors moving around you right now. Heaven is full of color. You read the throne room in Revelation 5, it's full of color. It's not light is not just white, is it? It's red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple and blue. It's all the colors of the rainbow and many more. And they are swirling around us. And they are swirling in you because Christ is in you. If you were to meditate on that walking down Tesco's into Tesco's tomorrow, and you would meditate on the fact that colors are swirling in you and through you, and you begin to release them, it's fun. This is supernatural reality. And I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, the religious says, oh, I'm just a sinner. I've just been forgiven. Oh, I hope I don't do anything wrong today, which is the sort
Nothing
of
really wrong.
defensive, anxiety-based, guilt-ridden religion. I'm a child of God and I have access into the throne room of heaven and I'm welcome. Like, wow, that sounds arrogant, but it's unbelievably not. We're way off topic. Hey, it's good. Anybody want to sort of come on in the back of that with a question or a thought? Let's just stay on this for a moment.
The conversation that I had with you last week when I was in college,
Yeah, hi Tim.
there was almost a reaction in that place that really doesn't see that what you've been talking about on a regular basis. But there was a wandering around, there was almost a bit of a, after the conversation that we'd had, a reaction and a shaking that that had been experienced within an area where it doesn't usually happen.
Wow. Wow.
Particularly with some of the more alternative people that float around in a sixth form college. And it was just a it was almost a shock that that had been going on in that place. The
Wow.
powers of darkness didn't know how to respond.
Right. I'd love to hear a bit more about it, but I think what happens is when we receive something of the spirit, into wherever, wherever you're sitting right now, whatever tonight you receive, when you, as you receive it, it will then begin to affect the spiritual realm around you. I love the fact it's some of the alternative people, because I think we're going to see in the coming years the alternative people, the out there people, get this mysticism stuff way more than your average good evangelical Christian who studied very hard over the years and he's knows the answers, because it's all out there. And I think we're going to see a very different expression of Christianity over the next 10, 15 years coming forth, that really the kind of the out there spiritual types will absolutely love, because we need it. Paul was a mystic. Paul was out there, completely out there with his language. He was part of a mystical. They think he was part of a mystical community who the Pharisees were interacting with, who'd spent a long time dwelling on the Ezekiel 1 visions of the throne, the fire, the wheels within wheels, and the fire, which is God on his throne. We could go, the thrones noted how were movable thrones with wheels. So you're watching Ezekiel see this vision of God's throne in heaven full of fire. And they think that Paul's language reflects a lot of that, because he was part of a community of Pharisees who were engaging with the mystical side of spirituality. And when he gets saved, it then gets all shaped. It really flows into the revelation that Jesus gives him, because he gets born again by seeing light and hearing a voice. He doesn't, no one gave him the five spiritual laws, and he sat, it was a highly mystical experience. Okay, let's do something. Okay, let's just dive. This is a very shortcut. How are we doing? It's 9 o'clock. Okay, shortcut. Shut your eyes. You know that when you shut your eyes, you tend to engage your heart more. You have to be quite experienced and practiced to open your eyes and still stay in the heart. Just as you close your eyes, just rest a moment and stop trying. Don't try and work anything up, try and rest. Come into a like a very gentle resonance, a very gentle frequency. Breathe deeply and center down. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to speak for a little bit, but I'm speaking to your spirit to stay very much engaged with the Lord and let my words just flow in. And when we stop and step in through the door into this reality, then you can just, okay, just go for it. But I'm just going to kind of almost help you in a little bit. Paul writes, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Just say to yourself for a moment now, my life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ in God. We talked last time about being in union with Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That the Spirit of Jesus is in me and is one with my spirit, and Christ lives in me. Paul takes it one step further than that and says, yes, you're in union with Christ, but that union with Christ is also hidden, immersed, enfolded, enveloped, cocooned, wrapped up, swaddled, covered. Within Yahweh. It's the image of pregnancy. The baby has the blood flowing through it, which gives it life, but its life is being grown and developed, and its DNA is being activated within the womb of the mother. Colossians 3 is the imagery of being within the womb of God, who's bringing and protecting and watching over you while Christ is flowing in you and through you. And this is all supernatural spirit reality that's going on right now. Psalm says that God wraps himself in light like a garment. The scriptures say that God is love. So you are wrapped up in light and love and life. Because God is life. So I'm simply going to invite you. Remember, you are a light being in whom the living God dwells, but he's bigger than you, and he's outside of you, and he's above you and around you and encircling you. So I'm going to invite you to step through the doorway, come out through the cave opening, out onto the mountain, and let God show you what it means for you to be enveloped, surrounded, wrapped up in God. You just gently draw yourself out of the awareness of it, as it were. It's the things that we're seeing and experiencing will always be there, that we're always in it. Just come back to the Zoom for a moment. The mind can only take you so far. The mind can set up the encounter because it makes sense, it's biblical, and it makes sense. But at some point, the mind has got to quieten down, and then the intuition, the senses, the imagination needs to take over so that it can begin to flow in spiritual realities that you'll begin to see, sense, feel, experience. And so the mind's really important, but not in that moment. The worst thing you can do is try and analyze what you're going through when you're going through it, because you'll shut it all down. So the mind's got to quieten, test things later, journal things later, think it through later, pray it through later. But in these times of contemplation, experimenting, you've got to allow your spirit to lead the way. And almost the rest of you learns to catch up. That's one of the new learnings. Because it's some people get it very quickly, but most of us Westerners take quite a while to learn to do it differently, because we're taught to do it all the other way around at school and mostly in church. It's a whole new learning curve. Brilliant. I just want to say about the Colossian thing, which is something that struck me as I was meditating on it today. You know, it says our life is hidden with Christ in God. That means it's hidden from the world. It's not hidden from God, and it's not to be hidden from us. We should be very aware of this new life in Him. But the world can't see it. That's why He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. There is a day coming when it will all be manifested fully. It shouldn't take us by surprise, will take the world by surprise. We've often said if you were to manifest like the transfiguration right now, if any one of us was to manifest our spirits fully, then it would just be a blinding flash, might fry all our computers, I don't know. But who you are and who God is in you is so spectacular, so beautiful, that part of us says, really? Wonderfully, by faith, we learn to accept it's true, and then we start manifesting it. You can't manifest something you don't believe in. And the more we own this new creation reality and the wonders and treasures of it, the more we begin to have intimacy with God, manifest His character through us and His wisdom, but also manifest His authority. That's the whole kind of model of Jesus that we're all wonderfully following and learning from. Now, if you want to take a bit more time doing this, not this weekend, but the following weekend, March 6, 7, Friday night and Saturday, we're doing a Friday and Saturday up in Loughton at Epping Forest Community Church. Love to see you there. I think it's all the information is on the emails that get sent out. But if you just want to come and soak in the stuff for 24 hours, we'd love to see you then. I never know how to finish these things, but it's really like stark, right? Blip, and we're done. But thank you, everybody, very much. I would, and if you ever feel like giving me any feedback, I would love to get feedback, because you pour this stuff out, and it's very hard teaching the mystery stuff, because you can't really put it into. Here are the four P's and the seven Q's. It doesn't work like that. So I I'm guessing that you keep guys keep coming back to it, so it must be awakening something in you. But I'd love to hear what's going on. If you ever felt like you want to put a little email together, send it to Jeanette. She sends it straight on to me. Off. I think most of you got my email address. If you haven't, I'm really happy to give it. It's kind of public. But yeah, I'd love to hear what God's doing, because it would help me to know what's working. All right.
Thanks, Stuart.
We're
Thank
done.
you. Yeah, thank you. Really good.
Goodbye, Australia. Goodbye, Wales. Goodbye, Africa.
Thank you
Goodbye,
very
everybody
much.
else.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Thank
everybody,
you.
very, very much.
Bye.
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 Bye, Sarah. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, Richard in Uganda. Say hello to my
Bye,
Vikings
Richard.
people.
Brilliant. And we're off. There we go.
Bye, Richard.
Thank you. See you, Lou. Bye, John. Bye,
Absolutely
Robert.
fine.
Bye.
Stop recording.
Right. Stop recording.